Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to KRFY. This is the morning show edition of Garden Life. My name is Julie Puchinski, and I'm here in the studio with my favorite co-host, Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Hey, Julie Puchinski. Good to see you.
And we have another longtime host of KRFY here with Gail Finley, a.k.a. Velma, Queen of Fun.
Good morning, girlies.
Hello, Gail.
We're going to talk about our midsummer garden this morning with our gardening experts here. But first, Julie.
I think she's stretching.
I think so,
especially
too.
With me.
Hey, now, come on. Come on. You know who you are.
I think so. But first, the weather, right?
Yes, let's start there.
Okay, and I think I'm on it for weather today. Well, folks, it is summer in Sandpoint, you may have noticed, and it's been ramping up on the warm weather, and today we are hitting a high point, I think, for the season. Today, high of 94 and sunny. Hope you all have somewhere on the lake to hang out later today. Yeah. Oh, boo.
Some of us are working near asphalt, okay?
Near asphalt. Oh, I thought she was going to use a swear word on the radio. And then we were going to have to shut off her mic.
She was close.
Fingers crossed.
Anyway, it will cool off a little tonight, low of 61. And then tomorrow's pretty warm also, high of 90. But then it looks like it gets better for as the 4th of July comes. We've got highs of 82 on Thursday. And on the 4th itself, a high around, 82. That's nice weather. So weekend looks the same, 85s. 88's warm, but not so bad. But I would say stay near the water, everybody, or turn on your sprinkler.
But good sleeping weather. I mean, so because we don't have air conditioning, so at least the house cools.
Yes,
leave the windows open. The house cools.
Open it up.
Yes, lows in the 50s. That'll cool you off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't forget the cold rag around your neck.
Oh,
that helps tremendously.
That's a leftover from the Midwest, Julie.
Absolutely is. Bowls of ice water and just dunk it in a couple of times a day and you're done.
Right. And that relates to our topic for today, which is gardening. And you need to stay cool in this weather while we're out gardening. But let's jump in, gals.
Absolutely. So today's July 1st, and that means the gardening season is possibly half over.
That's hard to believe. Because I've only been home for like a month and a half. It's like, wait a minute, it's half over. Wait a minute.
Well, things are happening fast. We know that for sure. So it's time to prepare for the rest of the summer in your gardens. So as I said, we've got our pros here, despite what they might say to the contrary. And Gail is here, host of KRFY's Hump Day Cafe. And Gail, paint a picture of the gardens that you keep and love for us.
Well, you know, when you invited me to come and be with you girls this morning, I made it clear that I'm not a veggie gardener. So that's why I support the farmer's market, because it's beautiful and pest-free. My husband does not touch vegetables. So for me to put that kind of effort into a vegetable garden seemed a little ridiculous. So pretty much most of my gardening career, I've been a perennial person. Once I kind of in my 20s got into what perennials were about, it's like, oh, you buy it once and then it grows and you can divide it. And so I would say I'm pretty much a perennial gardener with, and Lord knows I've had so many that have come and gone and died and just gotten huge and had to give them to people and go, and then the bishop's weed comes in and you go, wait a minute, where was that perennial in my garden, you know? So I would say perennial gardener with an accent on raspberries, blueberries, and pears.
Ooh, the berry girl. Okay.
Well, you know, that was one of the things that I really enjoyed about the Master Gardener's course was learning about fruit trees and berries, because I've been so into doing perennials and annuals and that kind of stuff. But to stretch out and go, well, I got room in my yard from. So, yeah. Buy those, put them in. Mm-hmm. I can't encourage people enough to put some berries in. And I always have clients that say, well, how do you get raspberries to grow in your yard? And my response is plant them in your neighbor's yard, because they always wander.
Well, this is berry growing country. You
yes,
know, the extension
is.
Office all those years was trying to domesticate huckleberries, and you go in the mountains and see the huckleberries and the elderberries.
And I can see the professor. What was his name? That was his major passion.
Bob? I can't remember either.
But he was the guy.
He was.
Here in Sandpoint, mm-hmm. that was his major thing, was to, you know, domesticate the huckleberry.
Right.
I don't think it's ever happened.
No, it hasn't. So.
But let's just say berries are perennials or biennials, so they fit in your category.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For
yeah.
sure.
But I can
comes
eat
every
them.
Year.
Yes. Which is great. So, yeah, so perennials. And then the other thing I love is, and certainly the older I've gotten, I've gotten to where I kind of, if it sprouts up and it's been there before and it's an annual, well, if there's enough of it, you can stay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mixture of all those kinds of things.
Nice.
With bishop's weed.
There you go.
Yes. Long time garden for you. You've been in there a long time.
Yeah. And been through all kinds of changes.
Mm-hmm.
And this past year, finally, went and bought a bunch of roadies to put under this 200-year-old pine. And they're doing really good.
Good.
I had a husband that actually watered them during the winter.
There you go.
Because with this huge tree and the giant root system, if you don't water something like that in the winter, because it's not getting enough snowfall, I mean, it could be devastating to new perennials or shrubbery in a situation like that.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I can really hear your passion for gardening, Velma. And I've got a question, which we usually ask any of our morning show guests, and that is, how did you find your way to gardening?
My grandmother's.
Hmm.
When I leave here and I go to Georgia in the winter, I go to our family farm, which is not a working farm anymore, but 55 acres and probably 30-something of it was a working farm at one point. Chickens and cows and pigs and big gardens. So my grandma on my mom's side, Miss Annie's garden, she raised more food than she could ever eat. And one of the first plants that I was ever given was a bronze begonia, little wax begonia. That and indoor plant that she gave me was that fuzzy purple passion plant. Has the stinky bloom on
it.
Yeah, so I had an indoor and an outdoor plant, but always watching. I come from a long line of farmers. So my grandma on my dad's side, when we go stay with her and we were little kids in the summertime, she always, her specialty was gladiolus.
Oh boy.
Man. She could grow the most beautiful, every color you can imagine. And just around this old, old country home, you know, just like picturesque, falling down on one side kind of country home, but they loved it. They lived there. The other grandmother was zinnias and dahlias.
Mm.
And she always talked about having to, she had to dig up her taters in the winter. Yeah, that's what she called the tubers for the dahlias.
Oh.
She said, even up here in the Blue Ridge Mountains, you can't leave them in the ground.
You can't.
You cannot. They will rot. You got to dig them taters up, put them in a nice, cool place for the wintertime. But yeah, my family. Yeah, for sure.
Right.
My grannies.
All right.
So a fine tradition. How nice that you're carrying it on.
I'm thankful to have that knowledge and to have grown up around it. I never take those things for granted. And when I'm back there in the wintertime, it's like all around me, just remembering what was planted over there when I, you know, and all how big the vegetable garden was, how many people would come over and get beans or tomatoes or we'd take M80s and blow up the leftover cabbages when I was a teenager. That's the way you make coleslaw. I'm just saying.
This lady makes gardening fun.
And Julie, what about you? Tell us about your gardens that you're working on.
Sure. Well, I'm going to start with how I got into gardening also. And I, as a young child, my grandmother on my mother's side and my mother were great gardeners, food and flower gardeners. And my mother loved, nasturtiums and petunias and, so many lovely summertime plants. I could not even begin to name them all, but those are two favorites for her. And we always had a garden at our house in Minnesota in White Bear, and then we also even went and had a community garden. They had them there, and so we did a lot of produce and a lot of gardening.
Wow. Okay.
Then I grew up and I went on to college and I thought I would be in horticulture, but I ended up in landscape architecture and learned a lot about plants and design. That's not how my career ended, but I spent a number of years doing that and then finally ended up here and moved on to 10 acres in Sagal, and that had a very large garden and a large many perennial plantings that were beautiful. I don't live there now, but it was just a real wonder and a learning place for me to learn about the climate, microclimates of Idaho,
of this region.
So now I'm kind of taking care of a couple of gardens because I do some house sitting and I have a garden in town that I help with, and that's both perennials and veggies, and it's really coming along wonderfully. And then another house in Sagal, and that's more like your garden, I would say, Velma. Mostly perennials and then fruits, berries, that kind of thing. So yeah, a lot going on.
Wow, you're a busy person.
It I was going to say, so. It's like, I just envisioned that guy spinning the plates on Ed Sullivan's show, you know? Oh, there's one tipping down here. Oh, get that one in the Sagal right
I'll
there.
I'll tell you what, though, it is cherry time in Sagal. So
yes, yes, it is.
If you're not watching your cherry trees, better take a look up because they are going great.
Loaded. Yes. Everyone yes, I've are. Seen is just loaded.
Such good news after last year's dismal. Yeah, dismal harvest.
Dismal
well,
harvest.
This is a round table discussion, so I guess I should say I also grew up with farmers.
There you go.
And my mom was so funny when I was a kid. She took all these cement blocks and painted them white and then put them in a line going up to the house and planted them in petunias. And that's the only flower I really saw.
And planted them in the holes of the
car. Yes, in the holes. My mother thought of that or did that or whatever.
Wow.
Maybe her mother did it. I don't know. But then you go out, and she always tried to have a garden, but of course we plant a row of beans and throw the rest of the pack to the hogs, and then they'd wonder why the beans were grown in the hog yard, but it, I don't know, Mom, I don't know how that happened. But then you push all the weeds back, because no one took care of the gardens, and there would be thousands of tomatoes. It was amazing ground, so it was so easy to grow there.
Wow.
It was all that deep, deep topsoil. And then when I got to Montana, I grew a little patch by my house, and I remember I grew cherry tomatoes, and one finally got ripe, and I plucked it off, and I put it in my mouth, and I promptly spit it out, because I thought there was something wrong with it. It was so sweet, so delicious. I really thought something was wrong with it, and that was the end for me, or the beginning of my gardening life.
Yeah.
That was a great memory, and it was just in such a harsh place, but that tomato
the sweetness
was,
of it.
Oh, so great.
Well, that's like I tell people that have never had real carrots from the ground, and mm-hmm. they only buy their carrots. Please go to the farmer's market mm-hmm. and just buy a bunch of real carrots. It's a totally different animal, just like you're talking about the cherry tomato. They're like little nuggets of sugar. They're so sweet and tender and not these hard things that look like little bullets that go to the farmer's market and buy some real carrots.
Oh, good advice. So true.
That is true.
That is one veggie that it is a big difference. Oh, well, most of the veggies make a big difference if you get them locally, but boy, right. Carrots are a big one.
I didn't know. Sure. I mean, my dad had a produce business, but he delivered produce from the state farmer's market. So they had an area at the state farmer's market for people to come and sell their things, but then there were the big hamper houses that he had to buy from because it was in quantity. So those carrots from that hamper house were a lot different
right.
than the ones that came from down on the docks where people brought the stuff from the farms mm-hmm. to sell it.
Directly.
Right. Totally
you can
different
hold,
animal.
Keep carrots a long time, unfortunately, and that really does degrade their flavor.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Cardboard.
Okay, let's get to flowers. Let's talk a little bit because this is really what we love and what we enjoy. So let's talk about old garden friends.
Oh, man.
What are your favorite flowers in the garden, Gail? Do you have a favorite?
I have one, and it goes, once again, back to childhood, to having it at the farm, and then bringing it up here. Some people say cleome. Mm-hmm. There's an accent on the E. So I've always said cleome. Beautiful flower. Mm-hmm. Not so much for cut flowers. It's not really a cut flower thing, but for something that will blow your mind, big and beautiful in the yard. It takes up a little space, mm-hmm. but cleome has always been one of my favorites. My mom and I used to grow it when I would go visit her at the farm. Just fabulous plant. One year when I was working at Petal Talk, and Nicole had the one of the big trough type planters in front because it was all concrete and we were looking for. So she bought the trough and we put all the stuff in there, and I said, can I choose what goes in it? She says, sure. So we planted cleomes. Now I noticed at the garden centers now there's a smaller variety of cleome for planters and stuff. Doesn't get big. I tried it last year and it's really nice, but it's nothing like the great big
yes.
ones. Well, all the foliage comes on first with cleome, and the leaf structure looks like a pot plant. It's got that like almost five finger, six finger, but the blooms are these giant, big pink and white and beautiful balls of color. Well, so many people would walk by it. All you could see was the foliage. And some of the kids from iCarts would come in and go, so what are you growing in that trough? But when it started blooming, oh my Lord, it was magnificent.
I remember it.
It was just, and the bees, I mean, everything buzzing it. Cleome's one of my all-time favorites. And I'd have to say one that goes back to childhood on the perennial end of things is peonies. Because my daddy always called them the peony rose. And I remember like it was yesterday being like 7 or 8 years old and his finally bloomed. It was like we had a party. And he, and don't cut that blossom. And it was right when we were having Teacher Appreciation Day or something. Whatever you do, girls, don't put that in one of your arrangements for the teachers. So he made it very clear it was a big deal. And whether it's tree peonies, which are way out of my price league, or just old-fashioned peonies. Oh, my God. I love peonies, the smell of them. You know, people say, what is your favorite all-time smell? I'd have to rank syringa and peonies right up there with my favorite all-time smells. Yeah.
And they're so darn easy.
Yeah, they are.
That's it.
Right. And even from budding bloom to full bloom to petals falling on the ground, they're just beautiful.
And then they look great in the fall.
They sure
do.
The
peonies, the color from the peonies is so pretty. Somebody said, well, don't you just cut them back when they're finished? No. Don't leave the foliage. Mm-hmm. Leave it. It'll be beautiful. You can use it in arrangements in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
All the lovely reds and different colors that they get. So
that's a good idea.
Those would have to be my favorite. And I learned something very valuable early on about peonies from these gals that came to speak at the Hope Memorial thing. They had a little class one day. They grew them commercially over in Spokane. Never, ever, ever plant your peony eyes, I guess you would say, or rhizomes, lower than 2 inches.
Oh.
Or it'll take forever for them to bloom. I'd bought some bare root ones at, I don't know, Costco or somewhere like that, planted them down in there. That great foliage, no blooms. Moved those things after that presentation. Made a world of difference.
Wow, that must have been your dad's thing for taking so long to bloom.
Yeah, it's probably too deep.
Yeah. Interesting.
So don't plant them too deep.
Okay, that's good to know.
And these ladies were adamant about it, so.
I know they're hard to replant. They're hard to get that, get carefully in there and get the eye that you want.
Yeah, but yeah, don't plant them too deep.
Julie, what's your favorite flower?
So many. I mean, come on. How do we pick one favorite child when there's a million that we love?
I agree with that too.
But, peony are up there, Gail. I love peonies. Oh, I love hydrangeas. It's another story.
And they're just starting some of my yards.
Annabelles or whatever type, you know, they can be so interesting and now so many colors and sizes. I love delphiniums. Because it reminds me of my mother and my
majestic.
And one of our garden in town is full of beautiful delphinium. You know, a little plant that you don't see around very much that I've always loved because my mother had it in Minnesota is that darn gas plant. Have you ever seen them? They bloom. They're pretty. They're beautiful little bloomers, white blooms. And then when they finish.
I know the one you're talking about.
And and they kind of tip over. And if you want to, before they bloom, if you light a match to one of those things, they'll go poof.
And who's she talking about gardening
gas
fun?
It's a fun plant for a kid.
I got to look that up, gas plant.
I've heard of it, and I've seen it, but I've never lit one up before.
Oh, dang it. And who doesn't just love a delicate coral bell?
Oh, yeah.
So many colors.
So
pretty.
Yep.
Bloom a long time.
Well, I have to say, when I first moved to town and Blossoms and Bloomers was still in business in Spokane, I got probably five of their roses, and those roses have been every year my favorite flower in the garden because they're climbers. And my husband built this metalworks through this one climber that just goes up to a insect head at the top. It's just so fabulous. So many things you can do on the trellis, and it blooms all summer. That's the thing with roses. They bloom all summer.
And let's not forget about clematis or honeysuckle.
Yes.
All those beautiful vines that just go crazy.
That gold flame honeysuckle is one of my favorites. And I lost mine last year.
Oh, boy.
And so I left the structure up because I'm going to plan another one, and at least it can start creeping mm-hmm. up on that structure anyway. Because mm-hmm. Scott was like, aren't you just going to cut that down? I was like, no, I'm going to use it. But it looks kind of, you know, but
mm-hmm. it covered
that
it,
gold
sure.
flame is a beautiful.
They
beautiful
are.
One.
And now we're talking about a lot of cultivars, but let's not forget some of our great natives. Mm-hmm. Penstemons. Mm-hmm. Oh, so
yes.
Nice.
The blue ones dramatic. On the rocks uh-huh. going out to Clark oh. Fork are just amazing.
Mm-hmm. And in the spring, the ball, I always mix this one up. I mix the first half of the name with the second, but I think it's arrowleaf balsam root, or is it balsam leaf arrowroot?
No, I think it's arrowleaf balsam root.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
That's
it's
it.
It's like a big, beautiful sunflower right away. In the
right
spring.
Away, yes. Yeah. One of the earliest things. That's right. I think right. that's a beautiful one, too. Mm-hmm. And so when I first moved to the area, the thing that I saw was so many of the same old plants, because I came to an old garden. So many of the old plants were throughout the town. And right. so they shared. They shared those plants that they brought with them. What's a plant? What's the most common plant you share, Gail?
Probably iris.
I was about to say that.
Because they're so
thing.
Easy.
Yes.
You know, and mm-hmm. and you could just give a bare root without any leaves on it. Here, take this back to Atlanta and grow it. I mean, you know, things like that are simple to grow. And I have this one, you would never believe this one, but Ligularia, you know,
oh, yeah.
that one with
it's
the yellow.
It's a great one, yes. Mm-hmm.
It recedes like crazy. I've got one client that just is kind of an overwaterer, but the Ligularia babies love it. And so I lift up her hair in the spring, and there's all these little babies underneath. So sharing plants is, I have a red hot poker.
Oh, I love
that
them.
Is still here. That a lady that I worked for when I was 32 in Durango gave me a big piece of hers, and it's still in my garden.
That's cool.
So, you know, there are lots of things like that. I've got a ton of Joe Pye weed I'm going to dig up, and there were a few people like, give me some of that. I think it was a little late last year, so I'm going to get it while it's hot, and maybe not this weekend. but yeah, and share some Joe Pye weed because it's such a great plant.
Oh, the
and you don't see it around
love it.
Here.
I have a couple stands.
I've got a stand as long as this room that kind of protects the front yard.
Cool. And if we're talking about old favorites, come on, hollyhocks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yes. The black ones that you can get now, I love those.
And they really are so dark.
Yes.
There's some in a yard that I take care of that's like, how do they hybridize
almost
that stuff
true
like
black.
That?
It's
I mean,
amazing.
Really, truly. That's like trying to find almost true blue, like the delphiniums. And, you know, that's something that when I first got into gardening in my 20s and 30s, that was something you saw a lot of. And I just don't see as many in other gardens, maybe on the garden tour or something, but big stands of delphinium like you used to see. I don't know whether people get disappointed because sometimes they get the leaf mold or the wind will get them because they're not staked or whatever, but I don't know. The other one I look forward to in the summer, in the early spring, is the Oriental poppies.
Yes. Oh,
you can
fabulous.
Almost set your calendar that it's going to rain when they start blooming.
Yes. And the peonies.
And the peonies. Like, beat them down to the ground. No, we're putting our golf umbrellas over them. Not having that.
And they're another easy one.
Exactly.
They're so fun. So much fun. So beautiful.
I couldn't have them if they weren't easy. I'll just put it that way.
I have to say a little bit about delphiniums. When mine are done blooming, I'll cut them to the ground, and they'll bloom again in the late, late summer.
Really?
It's not as tall of a bloom, but it'll still bloom again. And I'm finding that with a lot of my flowers, if they're early, like June or early July, like mine are just starting now.
Right.
Once the seed pod comes on, I cut them all off, and a lot of times I'll get a second bloom on those perennials. Not peonies,
right,
of course.
Right, I know. Or the poppies, because I'll get the foliage that'll come back when I cut them way back, just to get the energy back into the root system.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never had them bloom again. That's a good hint on the delphiniums. I'm getting ready to cut some back for somebody this week.
Yes, do it.
Perfect.
What's new? What's a new plant in your garden?
Mm.
I can start.
Go.
Because I wrote one down.
Go.
I have a red sage that somehow I found somewhere, I don't know where, and it has leaves like an iris. It comes up, maybe like more like a daylily.
Okay.
Comes up in these sword leaves. And then it's this cool red bloom. And they call it a red sage. And it's really taken over this year. Because I'll get you a plant, Gail. Don't buy it.
But I want to look it up.
There's a lot of it this year. Julie, what's your favorite?
Well, you're asking
or what's
about
your new favorite?
Oh boy, you've got me a little bit stumped because we've been more kind of in the adding to the veggie garden in town more so than, for example, a perennial or a shrub. But we're experimenting with just more veggies than we used to. So we're doing, these aren't unusual, but we're doing more with beans and beets and our shallots are looking great. Shallots and garlic are all nice. Mm-hmm. We have an ever-bearing strawberry that we've had for a while, but we've really been enjoying that one. And what else? The runner beans that are so pretty, those are just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, we did a funny thing last year that I think we're going to do again this year. When our garlic has escaped, and so it's starting to dry out, and we'll be harvesting that before too long. And last year we did this funny little thing where we'd had some kind of iffy-looking but nice, you know, nice potatoes, just really nice red, small red potatoes. And we're like, well, it's empty. Should we throw some in? And this was like in maybe middle, late July. We got a whole darn potato crop out in the middle of September.
Awesome.
Wow.
I think
you would think of that.
Yes.
But that was really fun. I think we'll do that again this year.
Good.
Fun to experiment like that, too.
The hardest thing about growing later on in the summer is keeping the water on it because that early life of those plants takes a lot of attention.
Roots. That's right. Well, mine is relatively new to me, but it's new to a lot of people. You and I were talking about earlier. Verbena.
Oh, yes,
but verbena. Not creeping verbena.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Upright verbena. And people, upright verbena? Yeah. It's called Verbena bonarensis. You talk about drought tolerant. There's your plant.
Mm-hmm.
And where I first saw it was on an traffic island in Blue Ridge, Georgia. The whole thing was just covered in purple. And I'm driving my mom to the doctor going, well, wait a minute. We got to go around the block. What is that? You know, and thank God that the landscaping company had their little sign on it. So I could call them and go, what in the world is that beautiful sea of purple? Massive. And that's what it was.
Wow.
And it recedes nicely. It doesn't get in the takeover zone, but it's in the heat. I mean, where it was the most inhospitable place a plant could ever be.
And all summer blooming?
All summer blooming.
Wow.
And so mine reseeds. I've been putting it around different places in the yard, and it looks good grown in mass. And last year was the first year that the deer ever came up to my gate in Clark Fork. Chomp, chomp.
On the verbena.
On the verbena.
Oh,
all
boy.
Things with that smell and taste.
Yes, that is an intense smell.
But it's a really fun one. It's good to just have it in there because it gets tall and you can see it above the other things, just kind of waving in the breeze. Good one.
Sounds nice.
Drought tolerant.
I'd like to ask you, Gail, I've heard that Hope and Clark Fork have a little milder climate than some of our areas around town. Have you experienced that?
Hope, for sure.
Yeah.
Clark Fork, I'm not so sure.
Okay.
Because sometimes I really feel like the weather and the cool temperatures kind of back up, come towards us and kind of back up against the mm-hmm. mountains. So it has gotten cold. Like I said, I was totally shocked that honeysuckle was gone. I mean, I kept cutting it back to get some live wood. Nothing. It's been there for years. So, but Hope is a different animal.
Mm-hmm.
Just as warm as it is, right with all the rocks that are there. I mean, it's amazing. And the penstemon, the way they grow in Hope on the rocks. That was one thing I could really grow in Southwest Colorado was penstemon. All kinds of penstemon. I'd get stuff down into Mexico and bring it. Here you got to be really careful with it because of wet winters. So if you're going to grow penstemons, do your soil correctly so it drains and it's gritty. And think of, you know, I think people need to think of where plants come from when they start trying to plant them and really read what the requirements of it are because you don't want to have any kind of really moist area for your penstemons.
That's
at
right.
all. Heat.
Well, let's talk about vegetables just real quickly. Julie's already told us what's happening in her garden. What's your favorite trick with your vegetables, Julie?
Well, I think fish emulsion fertilizer, the liquid, is really good. And if you have time to do foliar feeding, that's great, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was surprised when I have the growers in, you know, the professional vegetable growers, they fertilize once a week.
Yeah, all summer long. That. One to 2 weeks.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They have to go
even
that much.
With the soil that they use.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're getting it to market, so they got to really get it going.
Yes, yeah. And production. You know, we all want to get vegetables out of our gardens, so we're all concerned with production.
Yeah,
yeah.
Feed them.
Feed them. And one thing I learned this year when I put my tomatoes in, my buddy came over and took a look at them and goes, you need to Epsom salt spray them 3 days in a row. Because they were kind of green. They were kind of yellow, and there was green along the edge. There's a look it shows, and Epsom salt is magnesium.
Right, right.
So you spray it right on them, and I'm not kidding. Within 3 days, those things were standing up.
Wow.
Dark, dark green. I've since done it with my roadies, because they also can yellow.
Oh, yeah.
They're under a tree as well, and they, I think, probably don't get enough water, no matter how much we do water. But I Epsom salted them, and then we started going crazy and Epsom salted everything.
So. But when you say Epsom salt mixed with water and spray, I mean,
one tablespoon, 2 gallons.
Wow. Okay.
And it's spray, or you can drench it. You can put it in a watering can and drench them.
Because I've always bought the roadie food, but that's a good tip for sure.
Magnesium.
Magnesium.
And then those poor plants won't get leg cramps at night either.
I was going to say, and it's good for your legs,
stem
too.
Cramps.
And so many other things.
Stem cramps. I'm growing too fast.
Ouch.
What special care are you doing right now in your garden? Is there anything that's happening right now that you do every midsummer?
Well, I'm going to steal this one from you, Gail.
Good.
Keep enough water on things. She already said it, but I couldn't agree more.
Do not be a watering lightweight.
Right.
You know, especially trees. I've got this pear tree that was there when we moved to this house 30-something years ago. Who knows how long it's been there? It grows like crazy. Last year was the only year in the 30-something years we've lived there that we only had 2 dozen pears. Other than that, it's heavy laden. I'd take them to work, and Julie, let me just say, we had them in muffins and pies, and I made pear butter and everything, and give them to as many people in the food bank and everything. But deep watering. I don't mean just like 15 minutes. I mean, just gently put your, gently put the sprinkler trickly little trickle underneath where the root ball is of this old tree. Because it doesn't just happen. It's been dry for a while, you guys. We had that rain a weekend or so ago, but I cannot, like my blueberries, deep watering. I planted them where they have a hole, so I can fill that hole up with, or the divot up with water, and just let it sink in. If you don't, and you're just lightweight watering and giving it a 2-minute spray, all you're doing is creating roots that are up high. They're not going down deep into the ground, so the plant can really get to the water table and all that. So I guess the thing I would say, fertilize your annuals. You're growing them for color. You're talking about vegetables. Why aren't my petunias blooming? Feed them. They got to eat. Mm-hmm. If you're just watering them, water, it ain't happening.
That's right. Especially a container plant really needs fertilizer.
You're watering it a couple of times, at least 2 or 3 times a week. And the big hanging baskets like we love to buy at all the garden centers, they're already filled up in that basket. Unless you make your own, that root system is already full. So you need those kind of things. I just mix up a big thing of fertilizer and dip into it every time I water things like that. Mm-hmm. Any kind of annuals in pots.
Yeah, they are fighting for nutrients in those pots.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. They aren't getting it from water.
No.
That's right.
Neither are we.
The thing that I'm doing right now that I do every midsummer is I'm weeding the flowers because they're crowding each other.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm even trimming up high so the flowers have more room down lower, kind of thinking about things as in layers instead of just on the ground. So that's what I do.
That's a really good thing. And getting some of the low branches out like you're talking about. It's like, I wonder why that has never bloomed. Well, look, like you're saying, look up.
Right.
Oh, it only gets 2 hours worth of sun. If I cut those 2 branches off, I could get twice as much sun for the plants.
A lot of thinning. I'll even thin my hollyhocks up because there's other flowers underneath. So I'll thin those leaves up to give them a chance too because I like the crowded look.
Yes.
But not too crowded.
I agree. Crowding, yes, but overcrowding can be tough.
Hard for me sometimes to weed all those little seedlings, but it's like, know what? You just overproduced. You're out of here. Sorry about that.
That's the thing when you're gardening for people. They will not. They hate it when you cut off the blooms for more blooming or trim them down for
hard
better.
To understand the deadheading.
Oh, they do not like when you do that.
Why'd you cut it back?
So true.
I've had some angry people with me.
I think we all have. We just have to educate them. That's all.
And to go a little further on those lines, like the proper pruning of a shrub is often taking an entire branch out from the base.
Absolutely.
And so many of us just want to go nip, 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 nip around the edges. And that is often the wrong way to go. And
I was even reading geraniums. The branch that has the bloom, they take the whole branch down.
Wow.
I know. Whew. I tried it, and really, it does bush out on the bottom, but you do sacrifice those piddly little blooms, but eventually
it gets huge.
Yep.
I wanted to kind of circle back real quick to the roses thing. That's one thing, because they bite me because I don't grow them because they bite me. Mm-hmm. I love them, but mm-hmm. I don't grow them. But I have a client that, and this is one thing you and I kind of talked about on the rose scene and the friend scene and old plant scene, that yellow rose,
mm-hmm.
it's a climber.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over Sandpoint. It is all over Clark Fork. And if anybody from our historical society is listening, I want to know who brought it here.
Right.
Because I've counted there's at least 30 homes all around Clark Fork that have that flower. And then when you drive around some of the streets of Sandpoint, same thing, same
I've
rose.
I've seen it, yes.
And yep. I'd love to know who was sharing it. And I had to prune Sharon's the other day, and it was just fabulous. I mean, just loaded. And so, you know, you just have to go in there and look at where the new growth is coming, because it was fabulous. And the snow had, you know, and they propped it up and everything. And I've never believed in propping. If you can prune it to make it strong mm-hmm. and make it stand, that's the way to do it instead of lashing it up. And I've seen people do that from an interior deal with ficus trees and stuff. No, let me prune it to make it do that. So, I mean, we had a lot. It took it down at least half or mm-hmm, more. Mm-hmm. But again, it is that pruning thing like you're talking about, where the new growth is. And now we could plant something underneath it because there's all kind of suckers coming up. So we dug those up too. We'll see how they do.
There you go.
Share them with somebody else.
I have it. I have that yellow rose. And when I first moved there, I thought, oh, this scraggly old thing. And I thought, I'm going to dig it out. I got like 2 feet down and it was like the biggest root. It was like a tree in there, and I thought, oh, I guess it can stay, and covered it back up and still have it.
Oh, that's funny.
They're so beautiful.
They are so beautiful, really.
And but don't be afraid to cut them back.
That's right.
I guess if you have one, it's okay.
And even your landscape roses, you know, take those old blooms off, cut it to the five leaf, the way you want it to grow. You look at where that leaf is coming out. If you want it to grow out or in or up
look
or down.
Look at where the direction
that's
is.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And those five leaf clusters are where another bloom will come. So that helps them along.
And that's the thing, you know, like you were talking about cutting things back and deadheading. Plants, I love them, but they're kind of goofy. They don't know. Mm-hmm. They keep trying to put more energy into making that come back, keep blooming.
Yes.
No, cut it back so the new blooms can take up.
Oh, and they're trying to seed, too. They're trying to live. Yeah, they're trying to
make sure they're there next year.
That's right. But, Gail, you did mention something that's a big topic for me when I think about garden design, and that is the prickly factor.
Yeah.
Stuff gets in it, plastic bags, you get hurt, you get mad at them. It's just like, I don't know. I don't ever need to plant another barberry, I don't
think. Oh, no.
No. Just if you want to keep the neighbors out.
They're great. Coming
they're
down
beautiful.
Rocks in where they should be, where
yes.
they're
yes.
never touched.
Way to the edge.
Yeah, let them just, and great color, and
beautiful.
They can just be right there. Just don't want to mess with them.
Right.
Had
and,
one get up in a cuticle one time.
Ooh. Oh, boy. And ooh, then ooh. There's the matter of the hawthorn.
Oh, well,
oh man.
Oh, yeah.
Some of my friends just love that tree for the, you know, wildlife qualities. And I look at those things and I'm just like, get it out of here. But they're
like
everywhere. They are everywhere.
They are. Yeah. They're nasty.
They are.
Another nasty thing we need to talk about now is the weed wars that are taking place.
As they say, don't get me started over there.
In a short version. And bugs. Yes, we're coming to the bugs. But weed wars. Let's talk
weed
about
wars.
Our weeds.
Okay, weed wars for me, it's buying weed. And the major one, as you have heard me say numerous times, Bishop's weed. It snuck in on a plant somebody gave me. A delphinium, actually. A big, beautiful delphinium. Snuck in about 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. Has never left. Mm-hmm. Has brought its children, its grandchildren, its great-grandchildren. So everything from Dawn and vinegar and soap and this and that, I'll say it, I used Roundup on it. It laughed. It looked kind of wimpy for a while. Then it was like, okay, we're back. So I've just come to, when I get home in May, it's already up. It was up to my knees. It was already choking my red hot poker because it was so moist. The red hot poker's in a sunny, beautiful place, but the bindweed was saying no. So I lost two little shoots off of it because the bindweed was choking. You just have to get in, take a deep breath, and start ripping and tearing. So that's if anybody it. Has, and I've dug it out and I've done just any other ideas, get it like it's blooming, finishing blooming right now, rip it up. Don't let that stuff hit the ground. Mm-hmm. Don't let the blooms hit the ground. Makes it that much worse.
So many weeds we could talk about, but then we could also talk about the spreading things that didn't start out as weeds. For example, Creeping Jenny.
Oh, yeah.
That little sucker. That one, Ageratum, gout, Silver Edge gout weed. Oh, yeah. Man, Snow on the Mountain, same thing. Oh, man, they look so beautiful, and then they're everywhere.
And you know, but the thing is, for Snow on the Mountain and for Bishop's weed, the variegated especially, they're beautiful foundation planting. Mm-hmm. If somebody does not want perennials and flowers and stuff around their house, but want it to look nice, I think the bishop's weed around a foundation of a house like mm-hmm. that, the variegated, is beautiful. Yeah. It's in its world, it's doing its thing, and it's not bothering everyone else. Mm-hmm. So that kind of, and I see people buying it at garden centers like, you want to come over to my house Saturday? I'll help you. I'll fill the back end of your truck up with it, you know, because it just goes nuts.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of all the same plant, right? It's the same damn
it
plant.
It is. Rhizomatous in nature.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And bugs. What about the bugs?
Well, let's talk slugs. Oh, yeah. Slugs. How do you deal with those, you guys?
Diatomaceous earth.
Yes, it helps a lot.
It does.
Sure a boot.
Does.
The heel of a boot.
Yes, that's really good.
Yeah, we use a lot of little cutting in half of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was a huge one under something, a pot of something I moved the other day. It was like, where are my pruning shears?
I know. I used to hate to do it, but now I've become
mercy.
Callous.
Yes, I have no mercy on them.
No beer in a bowl or anything like that?
I'm not wasting good beer.
I've never had good. I had some beer that we got at a party that we weren't going to drink, and I tried it, and oh my gosh, it fills with water when you're watering, and nobody went in there, so it didn't work. But diatomaceous earth is a good choice.
It is. And it's really good. I put it, I have few people have some giant hostas, you know, so I just buy it and make a big circle, you know, underneath and around it. So their little slimy bodies don't like going across that. Mm-hmm. They really don't like it. You know, the other thing I hate is earwigs.
Oh, yes.
And one of the things I alerted the master gardeners that I just loved was, and it was Kevin Laughlin, was our teacher. He was the best. But he's like, because we were talking about ways to kill insects without chemicals and stuff. He says, you have the best thing for earwigs right there in your fire pile. Paper. He says, take paper, moisten it, roll it up like you do the newspaper in the morning, and just put it all around your plants. It will fill up with earwigs.
What?
Because think about where earwigs go in a zinnia. They like to be in those little tight crevices. They like to have something touching both sides of their body, and they like it moist.
Mm.
So you just moisten a newspaper, take an old reader, moisten it, roll it up, leave enough room for them to get in there. And they'll fill that sucker up.
Wow.
Put it in your trash can.
Call it
toss
good.
It.
Wow. So I got to tell a funny little story about earwigs when I moved here to the Panhandle. They really weren't a problem in my Minnesota garden. So you might see an occasional one here and there. And I wasn't even sure what one was. So I went out to Shingle Creek blueberry picking. And, you know, that family, their grandkids help when it's really busy time. And so I came in with my bucket of blueberries, and they're like, well, you know, and I had to ask, what is this little bug. I don't know. And they said, oh, yeah, it's an earwig, so you better cover your ears. And I'm like, what? My ear. And so I had to be re-educated when I got home. But they got me. Those little kids, they really got me.
They probably loved every
they
minute
loved that.
Of that.
Yes, they did. And they didn't tell me that that was not true. I had to find out on my own.
We didn't have earwigs in the South that I knew of either. And the first one that I ever knew was in the bottom of our bathtub, and I went to, I said, what is that? And I went to kick it down the drain, and it latched on underneath my foot. And I was like, ah, what is this? I had no idea. And then I became to know the earwig.
Yes, the earwig.
The earwig.
All right. We are moving right along here. This might be part one.
Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about berries. I know you were talking about berries, but I contacted Kyle to talk about what you should do now with berries and fruit trees. And this is Kyle with the Sandpoint Organic Agriculture Center. And he told me, don't put dry fertilizer on now. It's too late.
Right.
It won't become available to him. That is a springtime thing. So he only applies dry fertilizer in spring. And the other thing he said is stop fertilizing middle of the month.
Stop. Middle of July.
Fertilizing all your fruit trees and any of your fruit because they're starting to get ready for winter.
And you fertilize them. Because they've already produced the fruit. They've already done what they're supposed to, their life is to do.
Right.
Huh.
So that was interesting, he wanted to tell me. And also he wanted to tell me with the bugs, if you're starting to experience problems with your fruit trees or your berries, identify that bug. And make sure you use what's appropriate for that
what you're
bug.
Doing. Yeah.
And be careful of the beneficials. You know, be careful of what else is on that plant or tree.
That
and,
you could be killing.
Yes, that you could be killing. Because they're helping you, those beneficial insects. So I thought that was pretty good advice from Kyle out there.
That's great advice. And there's here can be a plug for the extension
department. Yes, we do have something coming up with at the Agriculture Center. It's let's see.
Oh, I read
July
about
17th.
That. Sounds great.
It's the research and farm field tour. So, got to sign up for it. You got to get a place for it. But it's July 17th, and I just wanted to tell everybody about that because it's such a fabulous.
I was going to say, if you've never been out there, you're missing a really fabulous, wonderful experience in Sandpoint Bonner County. I mean, it's magnificent out there what they've done.
So lucky to have that. But
what I was trying to point out was that the Extension Service can help you with that bug ID.
Absolutely, yes.
And get those bugs ID'd, and then they will help, and you'll know what to do. And then you can plan for it next year.
Mm-hmm.
Do they still do the Master Gardeners class?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
they do. Because I know that was one of the things we had to do was be there to answer questions.
Yes.
And boy, it'll make you look things up and understand stuff, especially for somebody like me that wasn't a vegetable or fruit person at the time. So it was really good. And if you're new to the area or if you're not and you've retired and you want, take the Master Gardeners classes. I can't recommend it highly.
That's
enough.
Right. It's a really great, good. That whole Extension Service.
We're so lucky to have them.
We're so lucky. And they'll come to the farmer's market one day a month, too.
Oh,
so
cool.
If you see them there and you have a question, you can talk to them there. Okay, let's talk about, let's talk about books. What brought you to gardening and what helped you through your gardening and share your favorite resources or reference books.
Gail? I don't know anymore. It's so easy just to look at stuff online.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, you guys know, you're a little bit younger than me, but when I got started, you had to go to the library or buy books, and I became a book hound. Answers to 10,000 gardening questions. I remember my first husband got me that for Christmas one year, and I still use it. But I'd have to say, being a Southern gardener, and moving to Colorado and then moving up here, if you are new to the West, even if you're not, the Western Garden Book, Sunset Western Garden Book, it's got everything in there.
I mean, looking at it, she's got it in her hand, and that is a thick, it's a tome.
It is. And a lot of times you can find them at the Goodwills or used bookstores.
Yeah.
They've been around forever, and they really do have everything.
And they've got an amazing selection of plant material in here. I mean, you know, everything from annuals, perennials to house plants, how to design a garden, pests, good pictures. that was another thing that was good for me on a lot of the plant selection guide and things like that. Fragrant flowers, it listed those. So I would have to say visually and with the information that's contained within the Sunset Western Garden book. And then the other two that I have here, visually lovely that you girls can look at. One of it is the Garden Color Book. And it's divided into three, so you can look at an orange with a blue with a yellow. That's a lovely one. Laurie Armbruster gave me that one. And then the other one is Garden Junk. And it's basically how to decorate your outdoor space mm-hmm. with funky stuff that you love from a yard sale or that your grandma had. Or I became very in love with metal garden chairs. True confessions. Have a few.
I love it. You go from ID and pests to color design, and then finally, you know, adding architectural elements. You go from design to, you know, A to Z here.
And that's really fun as far as little vignettes, you know, in your yard.
Yeah, garden rooms.
I made a garden room with a tent, one of those like things that you can eat in. So I decided I was going to have an outdoor bedroom. It was good until the first night that it really poured. I thought, well, maybe I'd just get a wall tent and put it out. So.
I have a few friends who have beds in the yard.
They sleep outside. I bought an old pop-up camper that a friend of mine wasn't going to use anymore. So Scott loves the air conditioner on. I hate the droning, and he works outside, you know. So mm-hmm. I like to sleep out in my little pop-up camper. Mm. And it's so peaceful. And it was 10 degrees cooler last night.
Ooh.
You know, just being out there, you can snug in at night.
Sure. Pitch a tent, people. Hot weather, just go put the tent out in the yard.
Yeah, send the kids out there for sure.
It's hard to get out of it anymore. Crawling out of a tent with my back is kind of like, I don't know. But it is nice to, this little pop-up was nothing. It cost nothing, and they were getting rid of it. It's like, hey, that'll be my summertime bedroom. Come on out, girls. We'll have a party.
What are your references,
Julie?
Well,
you know, it's interesting because I've been here about 10 plus years, and I right away took the Master Naturalist class through the Bonner County Gardeners Association, and so I have materials from that long, extensive class, and I refer to that. I also go online, which we all do now, and then finally, I love the Landscaping with Natives that was, published by the Arboretum.
Yes, that is a fabulous book.
It's a great book that helps you understand where those natives are happy, which is what we need to know.
Mm-hmm. And y'all don't forget, we have a library, fabulous library here with all kinds of things you can look at and read and DVDs and stuff like that you can learn from about gardens. Mm-hmm. So it's all free. Your taxes are paying for it.
Yeah, that's right.
Might as well use it all.
And one other way, talk to your gardening friends.
Oh, absolutely.
So much knowledge.
Absolutely. What worked for them? Like the earwig thing. I would have never thought of that.
Right.
It's a great trick.
Well, Julie, we have not taken a song break, and we're almost out of time.
We haven't even identified ourselves, Julie.
Oh, boy.
This is KRFY 88.5. You're listening to Garden Life here with Gail, Julie, and Julie, and we're going to go all morning, we think.
We'll just keep going.
Just kidding.
We got another hour in. Come on, people.
There we go. Well, we may have to wrap it up, Julie.
We might have to wrap it up. So, Midsummer Gardens, there's still a lot to do, but probably... Let's talk about coming up
tour.
In the garden calendar. We got that garden tour. The Bonner County Garden Tour is July 12th. Next, is that a Sunday?
It's usually a Saturday.
Saturday, July 12th. Coming up, and also, as
coming
I said,
right
July 17th is out at the Organic Agriculture Center. It's research and development about where organic gardening is going out there.
So
I think it's going to be just great. A lot of knowledgeable people out there.
And if you go on that great tour, you're going to run into me if you go in the morning. I'm manning one of the
good.
Bonner County Gardens.
I look forward to it every year. And I just kudos to every one of the gardeners that opens up their home and yard for all of us to come trouncing through. I've had several friends that have done the garden tour, and it's a big deal for them, and it would be a big deal for me, too. And you want everything just so your guests are coming in.
Yes.
Everybody is, I've learned a lot going on the tour and seen some incredible ways to use plants and using fruit trees in ways, espalier on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many great ideas
great
out there,
ideas.
And it's so fun to see the beauty that people have brought to their yards and their neighborhood and get out and go to the garden tour. Yes. It's a great thing.
You don't want to miss it.
I do every year, and I always come back saying it's so inspiring and so depressing.
Because
I'll never get my garden
and
quite.
And they don't have bishop's weed all in their yards. That's like right. I do. It's a great way to spend a Saturday.
And I do need to mention the garden collaborations going on in town, too, with the food bank. And a couple of churches have community gardens, and U of I Organic Center. They're just making all of this food available to people who will use it, who need it. And if you have excess food that you're growing and you're looking for a place to take it, like you take your pears, Gail.
Right.
Use the food bank. And don't forget about how much people who are not able to grow their food really could benefit and enjoy.
Don't let it spoil.
That's right.
I've told a lot of clients that they're not real into picking their stuff before they leave in the fall. It's like, listen, I know people that'll come and pick it, and the gleaners will come, and don't let the fruit rot on the vine.
That's for sure.
Get it to the food bank.
That's for sure. Well, Julie's giving me the wrap it up signal.
Wrap it up.
Got to wrap up, you ladies. You would go all morning. Well, anyway, for those of you who didn't hear it earlier, this has been the KRFY Tuesday Morning Show with our Garden Life host, Julie Prochinski, Gail Finley, who's also known as, Velma Hump Day Cafe, and
that's
me,
it.
Julie Calamine, another one of the morning show hosts. I hope you've enjoyed our roundtable discussion.
That's right, and if you want to listen to it again, it'll be up on a podcast later today at krfy.org. And all of our morning shows are listed in that podcast. So if you miss one, you're not out of luck. I know. You can go back and listen.
I used it all winter.
Yeah,
because it was later in the day in Georgia, so I could go back and listen to the morning show. So keeps me feeling like I'm in Sandpoint when I'm not.
Connected.
Well, all right, listeners, get out and get in your garden and then go swimming. Have a great 4th.
Drink water.
Hey, thanks for listening, everyone.